The Christmas story is absolutely amazing at really every point of the story. I mean, not only did God choose to come to earth as a helpless baby, which is not how I would have done it if I were orchestrating sending God to earth to show us who God is and to know how to live. It was, not only was he born as a helpless baby, but he was born of a woman. As a human being, God came to earth as a human. But then we go on and listen to the story, and we notice the birth announcements made by God. Again, not to the expected people. Not to the ones that I would have chosen if I were going to be making a birth announcement. It wasn't to the religious people around. It wasn't to the upstanding Jews. It wasn't to the proper people. But to the lowly shepherds. The poor and unclean shepherds. Jews, yes. But they were not respected Jews. They were despised and they're by trade considered unclean. And the second announcement, birth announcement, went to foreign nationals, to Gentiles, who are likely from the country of Arabia, and they weren't Jews, and they had a different faith. For the shepherds, God sent angels, first one and then a multitude. And we read that story in Luke 2, I'm going to begin with verse 7. Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Fear not, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth, peace among those whom God favors." When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. When we read the story of the shepherds, we notice that there are a range of emotions that flow through the story. First, fear, as they were terrified, and then wonder and questioning. What was this? Could it really be to them? But curiosity that took over, and anticipation, and then knowing, and a celebration. For the wise men, it's really different. They get a star, but a star that has meaning to them. And we find that story in Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star, the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. We also see a range of emotions here, but entirely different from the shepherds. Excitement. Excitement at seeing a star that was predicted. And then a decision to go. And pursuing the answer. Then finding it. And joy. And reverence. And then redirection. You know, God didn't just come to Mary and Joseph and enter our world as a baby. God came to tell others this incredible good news. And God wanted them to know about this news, to be able to know what had happened, that the Messiah, the Lord, is born, and that the child who is born King of the Jews is born. But it isn't just so that they have a sense of joy and wonder in it all, which they could enjoy from afar. Oh, that's nice. That's nice that that happened way over there somewhere. And we got it in the newspaper, or we got it in some kind of distant way. No, they've got a personal invitation to go and see for themselves. In fact, they're able to go into the inner sanctum, into the place where the baby is living. Mary and Joseph and the others living there in the house welcome them into their home. They were able to see for themselves what had taken place. And for the shepherds, it was just as they had heard. This baby was wrapped in swaddling clothes just as they would wrap their children. For the wise men, it was where the star stopped, where things came together in a way that they knew this was the place. Leaving the place where they saw baby Jesus, they were changed. I dare say that none of them was the same after that experience. We see it in the shepherds who tell everyone what they had seen and told. Now, shepherds that were not of a respected class of people, and yet they're telling people, and Scripture tells us that everyone was amazed at what they heard. They couldn't keep it quiet. They were determined to share this incredible good news. For the wise men, they were warned in a dream to go home a different way. Their plans were changed when they heeded this warning in the dream. And to think about going against the officials of that country and their wisdom, and to say, I'm going to follow the dream that I had, is pretty significant. I dare say that none of them forgot. For the shepherds to be given the message and for anyone to listen to them is absolutely astounding. And for the wise men to choose to listen to the dream rather than King Herod. As I've thought about this Christmas season, I've thought about the different emotions that have kind of flowed through the Christmas story. And today I thought about wonder and joy. We often relegate the emotion of wonder to little children. And even as adults, we're challenged to become like children and be filled with wonder. But I ask us as adults, what causes wonder and joy to well up within us? Where do we find ourselves shifted into that place of wonder? What causes joy to rise within and to spill out in our lives? Where do we see God at work in our midst? Where do we notice that God has come, not in a generic way, not in some ethereal, way off in the history books kind of way, but right now in my life, in our lives, where do we notice that God has come? And do we pursue and seek out those places where God invites us to look for God? When we have a nudge to go here or there, do we pursue looking? Or do we find ourselves ignoring those places where God is evident in our life? Looking around them, looking beyond them. Are there places where we find that God seems to be absent? And do we linger in those places? Or do we turn and find the places where it seems that God is really present, pursuing, looking for, finding the truth that God is among us? Are we willing to follow the leadings that come rather than the secular expectations? We all have secular expectations, ways that you're supposed to do this, whatever this is. And are we willing to follow those leadings even when they seem counterintuitive? And are we able to trust the leadings? To be willing to walk with God and explore, find out, see what happens. A God who comes as a helpless baby to a poor peasant couple, then to shepherds and to Gentiles. Or Arabs. That kind of a God is a God that comes to everyone. Not just certain people, but to all of us. And do we dare trust that God has come to us? That God has come to me? That God has come to you? And that it is an invitation to keep looking. To notice, to pay attention, to go and see, to visit, to find out for yourself. Because God is with us. Let us listen in open worship as we wait in the presence of Jesus who is here. And invite Jesus to speak directly to our spirits. To show us the ways in which God has revealed God's self to us. That we might notice and pay attention. And listen and find wonder and joy.